Good morning. Our reading this morning is from Luke 13, 6 through 9. And he told this parable: a man had a fig tree planted in his vineyard, and he came seeking fruit on it and found none. He said to the vine dresser, Look, for three years now I have come seeking fruit on this fig tree, and I find none. Cut it down. Why should it use up the ground? And he answered him, Sir, let it alone this year also, until I dig around it and put it on manure. Then if it should bear fruit next year, well and good. But if not, you can cut it down.
All the bitter, weary ways, endless striving day by day, you barely have the strength to pray in the valley low. And how hard your fight has been, how deep the pain within. Wounds that no one else has seen, hurts too much to show. All the doubt you're standing in between, and all the weight that brings you to your knees, he knows. He knows every hurt and every sting. He has walked the suffering. He knows. He knows. Let your burdens come undone. Lift your eyes up to the one who knows. He knows. Those lyrics to a recent song by artist Jeremy Camp, I feel, are touching and meaningful. This idea that God knows. And very strongly implied in that song, though it's not stated, is the point that I really want us to dwell on this morning. Not only does he know, but he cares. He cares. Does it matter to you that God cares? Do you believe that God cares? Well, he does. He cares for you. He cares about your problems. He cares about your struggles. He cares about the battles you're fighting. He cares about your sins. And most of all, he cares about your soul. He truly cares. You can see this in so many ways. You can see it in the fact of daily blessings, of daily mercies from his hand. Today, you had air to breathe. I know that is easy to take for granted, but you did. You had food to eat. We're thankful today for refreshing rain. Every good thing, Scripture says, comes from him. James chapter 1, verse 17. Just daily blessings. You can see that he cares in the fact that he has put others in your life who care about you. Your family, your friends, you have hopefully the church. It's a sign that God cares. You can see he cares when you see his beloved son carrying the cross to Calvary for no other reason than God cares for you. He had no sins of his own to bear. He bore yours, mine. He cares. He knows and he cares. And so the God of the universe, the great I am, the creator and maker of all things, the Alpha and the Omega, cares for you. And it's amazing that he cares for you even if you don't. So, the Apostle Peter writes some words for us this morning. 1 Peter chapter 5, beginning at verse 6. Humble yourselves, therefore, under the mighty hand of God, so that at the proper time he may exalt you, casting all your anxieties on him because he cares for you. Be sober-minded, be watchful. Your adversary, the devil, prowls around like a roaring lion, seeking someone to devour. Resist him. Firm in your faith, knowing that the same kinds of suffering are being experienced by your brotherhood throughout the world. And after you have suffered a little while, the God of all grace, who has called you to his eternal glory in Christ, will himself restore, confirm, strengthen, and establish you. To him be the dominion forever and ever. Amen. I ask you to take note of the way our scripture passage begins, paraphrasing a little bit here of what he wrote. He says, "Humble yourself so that when the time is right, God may exalt you." You know, if tradition is true from the early church, and it is pretty strong tradition, then the man who wrote those words lived them out in a way that was all too literal. Tradition says that Peter died by crucifixion, like his Lord did, but that he was crucified upside down. Some say by his own request, so he not feeling that he was worthy to die in the same exact manner as Jesus. And so he died in a totally humiliating way. If you think about it, crucifixion is humiliating enough, but how much lower could it be, really, than the way Peter may well have suffered it? But the fact is that God exalted him after that. Peter lived out what he wrote. You know, you've heard the phrase based on the law of gravity, what goes up must come down. But there's a spiritual law. And it sort of reverses that. We might call it the law of suffering, and it says what goes down will come up. As Peter states it here, humble yourselves so that God might lift you up. James says in James 4, verse 10, humble yourselves before the Lord, and he will exalt you. But really, the source of this teaching was Jesus himself. He said things like this often. He said this in Matthew chapter 23, verses 11 and 12, speaking to his closest followers. He said, "The greatest among you shall be your servant. Whoever exalts himself will be humbled, and whoever humbles himself will be exalted." It's a spiritual law in Christ Jesus. Now, here's what might be the tough part of this teaching. And I'll just admit it to you this morning. This is among my biggest struggles. That is, that part of being humble, part of humbling ourselves, and we might not think of this that often, but part of being humble is giving God our cares and worries. Ever thought about that? Peter says it this way, casting all our anxieties on him, here in verse 7. Notice the words he uses. Words are important in Scripture, aren't they? Notice the word all. Cast all your anxieties on him. Humble people do that. People who are submitting to God do that. But that is tough. Is it not for us worriers to cast all our anxieties on him? But that's what it says. Cast all your anxieties on him. The word cast here is a word that occurs only one other place in the New Testament. It's over in Gospel of Luke chapter 19, verse 35. accused of something the disciples did. You might remember them casting their coats, their cloaks, on the colt that Jesus was going to ride into the city of Jerusalem in what we call his triumphal entry. You remember that scene there. And you might recall that the Lord had told the disciples to go into the city and that they would find there a colt tied up someplace that had never been ridden before. And they were to untie that and bring it to him. You can imagine if someone walked by your place and untied your colt or your car or whatever it was and just took off with it, there might be questions. And Lord anticipated this, and he said, if you're asked about it, what are you doing? They were told to say, the Lord has need of it. And so they get into the city, they find the colt, they bring it to Jesus. It says then that they cast their cloaks upon it. Sort of serve, I guess, as a cushion, a saddle for Jesus as he rode into the city, as those people were praising and worshiping him as he comes into the city. You know, the idea being that the disciples didn't seem to care or be concerned about their coats. This casting was done almost as an afterthought. You know, the Lord needed it, so they gave it. They cast their cloaks. So think of that kind of approach, that kind of attitude of mind when you read 1 Peter 5, verse 7, when it says, cast all your anxieties, worries, cares, problems, struggles upon God. Don't think a second time about it. God has need of them. He needs you to cast your cares upon him, for he cares for you. He cares. He cares so much that he'll warn us of danger. Continue to read in this passage. Look at the warning. It tells us, in fact, that there is an enemy out to destroy us, an adversary, as Peter terms it. Someone that would do nothing short of devour us, if possible, the devil. Sometimes Satan is described in Scripture as being very subtle, you know, appearing in very appealing ways, perhaps even as an angel of light, he's called one time, in a way that we would not be afraid. And yet sometimes it's the opposite. Sometimes he just prowls around, roaring in terror and hoping to have the opportunity to just gulp us down like a wild animal. Sometimes he's like that. Peter, by inspiration, gives us this warning. Because God cares. Are we on the watch for that adversary? Do we have enough spiritual sense, enough alertness, as we've been asked to have throughout this letter, to beware of that danger of the one who would devour us? You know, we ought to have enough, because God cares enough to tell us the truth about it. And he cares enough to warn us of it. And our God cares enough to be straight with us. See? And to tell us hard truth, like, we are in for some suffering in this world. We are in for some hard times as believers in Jesus Christ. You never, if you seriously read the Bible, you never get the idea that it's going to be easy as a follower. He doesn't soft-pedal discipleship. There may be some preachers and teachers out there who do, but the God of heaven never does. He says through Peter here in verse 10, you are going to suffer for a little while. You know, we ought to be as honest as Scripture with one another as we try to teach and influence others. And if you're looking for an end to all suffering, don't come to Jesus. You're not going to find it there. Not in this world, you're not. If that was the case, think about what it would say. If it was the case that Jesus was intent on bringing an end to all suffering in this world, he would never left the world before he had healed every sick person. Why didn't he heal every sick person? He wouldn't have left before he had fed every starving person that existed at the time and ended all wars and oppressions and injustices in the world, because he certainly had the power to do those things. He did enough of it to see he had the power, but he didn't end it all. Those things remain to our day, don't they? Does that mean Jesus doesn't care? God doesn't care? Peter very emphatically says God does care about these things. And he says that God wants us to cast all our worries about such things, which we have. We're not denying we have them, but we're to cast them upon him because he is the great burden bearer and wants those things from us. He is the God of all grace who has called you to his eternal glory in Christ, and he cares. He cares so much that he will get you through it if you'll cast it all on him. He will, notice, he will restore you when you need restored. Verse 10. It's an interesting word there. It's used of mending fishing nets in Jesus' time. You remember the type of fishing they did, not with rod, reel, and line, but with large nets that they cast into the water and gathered in fish. Those nets at the end of the day needed attention. They often tore and they needed repaired, and so they needed mending. They needed restored. It would do no good for the next day if you had a net with large tears in it, would it? You know, losing all your efforts and fish through those holes. And so you spent the end of the day restoring it, mending it. Peter says God does that with us. Sometimes these sufferings, these worries and cares and sins and all these things, they leave us in need of repair and restoration. God promises through Peter to do that, to restore us, to repair us. It's a sign, you see, that he cares for us. And he cares so much that he will confirm you. Again, look at the word in verse 10. He will establish you. He will set you firmly in place. You know, he has called upon us to be firm in our faith. Back in verse 9. But it's not as if he's saying, you know, go off on your own and establish yourself and that kind of thing. He does not leave us just to our own efforts in being firm in our faith. He helps us to be firm if we'll cast all those things upon him. He helps us, fills in whatever we lack. He offers us strength because we so often lack strength. When we get in trouble is when we try to do it all on our own strength. Think about an example of this, the Apostle Paul. How could the Apostle Paul make the statement over, it's in 2 Corinthians 12, verse 10. He said, when I am weak, then I am strong. How could Paul make a statement like that? It seems, as you hear it, contradictory, doesn't it? When I'm weak, then I'm strong. You know, those words appear to be opposites. But we understand what Paul's saying, don't we? I hope we do. He's saying when he was weak, God supplied strength. God offered him strength. What he lacked, God filled. And so Paul doesn't worry about these sufferings. You read 2 Corinthians 12, he talks about all the things he's been through and anticipates more things he's going to go through. How can he face that with contentment and joy? He doesn't worry about those things because he's learned this important spiritual truth that Peter also writes about here in this passage. He supplies strength. Finally, he says that God will establish you. Restore, confirm, strengthen, and establish you. Because he cares for you. God offers security. He offers a firm foundation. The Bible says in 2 Timothy 2, verse 19, that God's firm foundation stands, bearing this seal, the Lord knows who are his. Sometimes we sing the song, Jesus, you're my firm foundation. I know I can stand secure. I love when we sing that song together. My question today as we meditate on the scripture is, do we live it as well as we sing it? Have we really cast all our anxieties upon him? Do we truly believe that the God of the universe, our Maker and our Creator, and his beloved Son, do we truly believe they care for us? The answer to that question will say a lot about how we're living our lives right now. He cares. Do you believe? Do you need strength? Restoration, mending? You need that foundation firmed up by the Lord. Maybe you need to start your relationship with the Lord today, responding to what his Son did for you on the cross, that he suffered. Have you ever met his blood in the waters of baptism and began your walk? There's great strength there. The Lord is returning. Scripture says soon. Are you ready for him to come? Are you trusting in him? If not, today have an opportunity in this assembly to cast your cares upon him. And if we can help you some way in that, we invite you to come.